Good morning, everyone. Welcome to First United Methodist Church Kemp and Becker United Methodist Church Becker community as we begin our worship service this morning. It is good to have people logging in and signing in to follow along and watch along as we bring our as we come to our third Sunday of Easter this week. We will have our normal routine that we've been following. I've been sending this out to those who have asked, and both churches for sure, if I have your email. If I don't have your email, reach out to me. It's Pastor David at att.net, and I'm happy to add you to one of our distributions and make sure you get a copy of our order of worship. And I usually have one song at least that we'll use as our closing, and then our prayer concerns for both churches. And you can get both or just one. It just depends on which church you normally support. I know there's some of you that come to both when you can. And so whatever works best for you, we're here to just really kind of support you in this time of separation and sheltering. So it's good to see some friends from the past coming along and joining on this morning as well, and I'm glad you all could make it with us. As far as announcements and welcome at parts done announcements, I think the only announcement we had this past week are Labor of Love Food Pantry. Sorry about that. I'm drawing a blank for some reason. And it went really well from what I understand. I think we served nearly 30 families, which is really good. I hope that we can continue to do that each month. Of course, if you know of somebody who's in need in between our monthly giving, let us know or have them reach out to us. And if we could support them in any way, we'd be happy to try to do what we can to serve those who are in need, especially during this time where we've had continued economic downturn, and people are in the hard-hit areas of food service and some of the other what they call non-essentials are being impacted because they are kind of being laid off or furloughed during this time as companies are trying to continue to be solvent in order to, as the economy opens back up at some point, that they may be able to then hire them back on. So prayers for them, prayers that they are getting some support, at least from the state, if they are eligible for any of those unemployment benefits and stuff like that that has been expanded. So hopefully folks are being able to find at least some funds and some money and able to get some groceries and food. I don't know. Some of the areas may be harder impacted than others, and I fear that in our rural area of Kemp and Becker that might be more true than here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I encourage you to reach out to those, or have them reach out to us, I should say, and get them to join along with us and see if we can't support them, especially in between our time of doing the food pantry. I know there are other opportunities to pick up food from other areas and sources in the Kemp area as well, so we can get them plugged in and to all that as well. So good morning again. My wife is joining me here to my right. She will bring the children's message here in a few minutes. But one other thing. I did want to mention that in the next week or so, we planned, and I say week or so probably shoot for 2 weeks, I think, is what our goal is going to be, to bring back our Wednesday Bible study. And we're going to do that during the day, I think, as a test, and I'll send out information. So if you'd like to get in, I know the people that had been attending, we'll make sure we reach out to those individuals. But if you want to start doing this remotely with us in a Bible study, we have a new format that we will use, and I think it's called Zoom. And we'll get the meeting information out to those who want to be a part of that and want to follow along, and we'll just pick up where we left off. Well, I'm not sure where we'll pick up, but we'll pick up somewhere either with the Lenten study and finish that up. We had about 3 chapters left of that. But if you're done with that and we'd like to just go back to our lectionary Bible study, we could do that as well. So a couple different options available for us, and we plan on doing any and all that we can through that Zoom meeting, and it'll probably be just during the daytime from noon to about 1:30. And if we have enough people participating and we need to go a couple hours, we can do that as well. The benefit of being able to do it from home or remotely is that we don't have at least Kim and I don't have a huge commute going there or back, and we can be, you know, here to support whatever we need to in our household as well as support that. So we will get your information, and yeah, I see some people are commenting, add me to the list. So yeah, if you want to be added, you can put it in these comments, and we'll make sure once I get that meeting set up and on Wednesdays going forward, probably maybe not this Wednesday, but the next. Let's shoot for a week out from this Wednesday to start those back up. And I think we had birthdays that Jim's been sending out via email, at least that for the Kemp Church. Excuse me. And there were a couple this past week. So definitely want to say or recognize those birthdays. Sorry we couldn't be together and sing happy birthday for you, but know that we are lifting you up in prayer and support as we go through, and we hope to enjoy a time when we can get back together and maybe just sing one huge happy birthday for about 20 minutes for everybody that we've missed one Sunday morning. And then anniversaries, this one I do happen to remember. Kim and I will be celebrating our 20th anniversary, believe it or not, Tuesday? Yeah. The 29th. I know the date. I couldn't tell you what day it was coming up. But the 29th of April, we will have been married 20 years. Mm-hmm. Go figure. I survived 20 years with, rather, maybe, she's allowed me to be a part of her life for 20 plus years, and it's a blessing for me, so. If there's nothing else that I can think of, is there any? No? All right. Let's begin our worship service. I'll start with our centering words, and we'll move right into our call to worship and opening prayer after that. So, excuse me. Hold on. Let me get a quick drink. I'll try to get rid of that bubble talk there. Christ is here, ready to be revealed. Watch and wait for the new growth that is coming. Stay with Christ, and Christ will stay with you. Listen for God, and God will speak. Seek the Spirit, and the Spirit will be revealed. For the Spirit is already here, inviting us to stay. Eternal God, we are here, yearning to know you more fully. Stay with us as we worship this day. Reveal yourself in the words that are spoken, the songs that are sung, and the bread that is broken. Help us understand your truth and embrace your life-giving power revealed within your enduring word. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. And Kim will bring us our children's message. Kim?
Yes. Hi, everyone. This week we were going to talk about service. We've been talking about the five things that we as Methodists promise in our membership vows that we do, and that's prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. So you might be wondering, how can we serve the church when we're not at church? And so this is a new environment, and we've been home a lot, but there's a lot of things that we can do at home to help each other. And so I wrote down a few, and I wanted to kind of tell you how maybe David and I have done this week. So you can make calls to people and tell them, I know that we were in town and they were telling us how they were calling a few friends to just check up on them and to tell them that we're thinking of you and we love you. And that's a great way to serve. Or write them letters and draw them pictures. I know a number of our people would love to get a handwritten note or picture from you guys. If you want to write something down this week and send it to anyone at church. And if you don't have their address, just have your mom message me and I'd be happy to get those to you. So you can send some letters to people who are lonely or at home to make them feel better and to let them know that you care. Or you can cook something. How about making a batch of cookies and making some extra and dropping them off at someone's door just to let them know that you care and that you're thinking about them. We took a food gift to a friend this week just to let them know that that we were thinking about them and that we cared about them and missed them a lot. And how about if you're working on your yard and pulling some weeds or something like that? How about just going to your neighbor? We had our neighbor do that this week to us and lovingly edged our yard for us because he was doing his own, just to say thank you for looking out for his parents and just really serving in that way. And it was really kind. It really made us think, you know, the next time we're outside doing something like that, we should help our neighbors out in that way too. And then lastly, just, you know, whenever you're walking or walking your dog or whatever, just say hi and say bless you. And I know when I still make deliveries to people, and when they're sick or needing help, I say God bless you, and I say I'll pray for you, just to let them know that I'm serving them in that way and giving an extra notice to them that someone is thinking about them and they care for them. Mm-hmm. So you may not be at church physically, but we can still serve God and we can still serve the church in our faith. And I want you to think about that this week. What is something that you can do to help someone else and serve God? So let's say a prayer. Mm-hmm. Dear God, we thank you that you serve us every day with faith and comfort and guidance and love. Please help us as we go forward, not only in your walls, but in our world, to serve others in the way that you want us to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kim. She steps away to follow along the via the live stream. We'll prepare for our message. Our scripture this week is 1 Peter. We'll still be in chapter 1, and it is going to be verses 17 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 to 23. So if you'll follow along on your in your Bibles there at home, I will read as best I can, and we will hear what God has to say to us in this scripture. This is a, just to give you some history too, this is a letter that, you know, that was authored to the churches in Asia Minor. This would have been early first century, early to, I guess, mid first century, I think is what most scholars are saying now. So it may be just past actual time frame of Peter the Apostle's life, but so the person who actually wrote this may not have been Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that, you know, firsthand witness, but they wrote it in a way or so that we would know that this was kind of some of the things that Peter would have attested to as a disciple and follower of Christ. You know, he was given a lot of accolades for beginning the church after Christ's death on the cross and resurrection, often referred to as the rock in which the church was built. So, but this is, again, written to those early believers in Asia Minor who were to have been throughout that area in that region when the church was just beginning. So let's hear the words that God has for us today. So starting with 17, if you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love for one another deeply from the heart, you have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our message, I feel like, is going to be a bit short this week, but that's okay. Sometimes you just want to get to the point and you want to be able to kind of think on the things that jump out to us, and especially from certain texts, and you just want to focus on those things and really just lend your ear and your mind and your thoughts on it. And as we move into this section of the letter, we had started last week, the author points us to what our response should be to what God has done through Jesus Christ. Because we claim Christ and have that living hope that is found in the continuous process of salvation, as I discussed last week, we are now to turn our attention to how we are responding to the grace that is to be revealed in those final days when Christ returns. So the grace that we're pointing to here, that salvation that there's alluding to, the author is alluding to, is that end time salvation. That as we go through that process of sanctification we talked about last week a little bit, this is where we're looking at what is to come. We look forward to what life is to be, what we expect. Hope and hang our hopes on, I should say, as Christians, as believers in Christ, and that is what we're claiming, right? Our claim being our faith and belief in what God has done for us through Christ, Christ's resurrection from the dead, and because of these things, we are who are believers anyway, are also now children of God. So if we look back at the verses that were immediately preceding where our lectionary text picked up, it was 13 through 16, and it reads, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children of God, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance," right? But 15, "but just as he also..." "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy." And so that's where I picked up, kind of where we moved from there into 17. And it picks up with, you know, as we invoke the name of God, right? Or we call on God as Father, you know, we recognize God's omnipotence, God's almightiness, or the power that God has over us. And the way that God judges all people. And that's, you know, for those of us who believe as well as those who don't believe, God will judge all. And that's one thing, as faithful followers of Christ, we understand and come to expect at some point. And if we come to that realization, or as we're reading through this passage, you know, where our lectionary picks up, and we realize that we come to this realization as the author continues to move us towards, is that our lives should become, or maybe it's better to say it this way, what our lives should represent for the rest of the world around us, right, is this thought of holiness, this example of holiness, right, that thought of not letting the world around us dictate our response, or how we respond to it, but letting the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ drive how we respond to the world around us. And the response that we should be sharing with one another, is, as well as others, is that a deep and sincere love, right, that comes from our hearts. When we think about the Holy Spirit and where that source of energy in our lives dwells, you know, we talk about it, the Spirit dwelling within our heart. And so this sincere love we have for brother and sister alike, family members and church family, as well as humanity, you know, that love that we have, that sincere love, comes from that source of all things that God gives us through the Holy Spirit, right? We wouldn't really know or understand love without that relationship with God. And so that's kind of what our author kind of drives us back home, or that point that he's driving to. And I want to say this now, more than ever, probably, I wouldn't say probably, but for me now more than ever, that love we share for and with one another is of the utmost importance. And during this particular time of sheltering, it may be getting tested more than ever too. Since most of us may not have any downtime away from our families, one of the things that Kim and I have found, and as well as the children, as we have been sheltering and have been exposed really just to one another for the most part, we're finding that it's a time where we really need to be looking to share grace or give grace to one another. And what I mean by that is I kind of liken it to the first few years of weeks, months, years of marriage that we had. I talked about our anniversary coming up this week, and that adjustment that Kim and I made, you know, even before children were a part of our lives, that adjustment we had to make just to learn how to live with one another. Being married is one thing. Dating and living together is one thing. But when you get married and you bring that relationship before God in a intentional way, you begin to start thinking about, well, that's not right. And boy, you know, he has a problem with, you know, putting the TP roll back on the actual dispenser. Like, he doesn't know how to figure out how to place the roll itself on the tube and reset that in the TP holder there. Seems to be one of my shortcomings. And I'm sure that's something that you know, Kim would let you know about. I maybe only hit that maybe 1-2% of the time when I actually refill the toilet paper. But then there's also this thought about, you know, the old bait and switch, I think Kim's mentioned a couple times, where, you know, she can really cook a good smothered steak and twice baked potato really well. She does that very well. And that's great. If that's all you really want to eat in life, then she is your ultimate cook when it comes to that, in my opinion, because that seems to be the only recipe she really knows well. And not a dig on her, but that is kind of the reality that we're in. And so we are now relearning these things. We're realizing, hey, we both still have some shortcomings when it comes to this time together. Some of that gets hidden as you go out and you're working outside the home and you're only together in the evenings. You have less time to really want to argue about things because you've already had a rough day at work. You kind of don't want to bring that home. But now when all day is at home and all day is watching how your spouse or watching how your children interact with one another or even with you, that grace and that love that we have for one another really gets tested in these moments. At least that's what we've been finding, or I have been finding. Let me make sure that that's for me, right? So there is this thought of you know, that the only thing that, what we need to learn here or relearn is what is most important, and that is how they make you feel, right? Those individuals, our children, as well as our loved ones, our spouses, it's not what they can do for us or how they do it. It's how they make us feel, and that is what's important for us as we think about this time that we are sheltering together. Because the reality is, if I had to do this the rest of my life with these three other people, I should say, I die a happy man. They are the things they do to frustrate me yet bring me joy, all at the same time, are wonderful and unique to each one of them. And this thought of how we respond, right, going back to what our response should be, this holiness that we have in Christ, or that we want to emulate, that we receive from Christ, that holiness is what our response should be, that sincere love. And what I found, or what I'm finding, is that if we're looking at that, what is sincerely or genuinely loving about one another, or how we should do that, then we don't look at those minor details as negatives. You know, we begin to look past those things that that seem to impact us negatively or our feelings negatively or our perception. And instead, we focus on the fact that we really do love smothered steak and twice-baked potatoes, a couple of my favorite pieces of food that could be put together on a plate and that I can consume. And again, I do apologize that a lot of my services and worship message seems to be talking about food, but apparently it's a pretty important thing in my life. But anyway, we focus on the fact that that the person even bothered to replace, that person being me, even bothered to replace the TP roll at all, whether it's over or under, that's not what's important. Usually I just leave it standing on top of the crossbar, if you will, and instead of actually placing it in the roll correctly, either over or under, I usually just leave it perched on top, and I think that's the thing that she would be overlooking when it comes to our time of being sheltered. Especially after 20 years of dealing with that from me, right? And this is how we live as holy as Jesus is holy, right? This is how we start to break that mold of ourselves, or breaks outside of ourselves, out of those molds of our past lives. Even in the lives that we knew and were taught from our forefathers, right? Or our ancestors, our parents, teach us and prepare us to go out in the world and interact with one another and love one another and try to be good people all around. But even that has its shortcomings. As faithful people, my parents have been and raised me, tried to raise me, you know, there's still times where I've struggled with different things and concepts because of some of the examples that I either perceived in one way or another. And so this thought of our who our example should be comes from Scripture, and that is the example that we no longer live in the ignorance of a life without faith, right? We now have our faith, and rather we live into that life we have in Christ Jesus, that hope that we have of what is to come. And so if we're doing that, we need to learn to live in this manner, and the way we do that is through trial and error, right? For many of us, this is a practiced day in and day out, over and over again, just to make some small gains towards that life of being holy, as Christ is holy. Obedience or discipline, that is a learned behavior. And it can take time to get it right. I remember an example here on that is my son Connor took karate lessons. And he took them not just for a little while. I mean, when you think about his whole life, it might just be a little while. But he was a student at this particular dojo for 9 years, from the time where he was 4, I think it was when we started, until he was 13. And the growth that we saw from a 4-year-old child who was really into Power Rangers at the time, that was what got him into wanting to learn how to do martial arts and karate and watching those shows, to the young man he became at 13 with a first degree black belt. It was this process of learning how to be disciplined in the forms, in the techniques, in class. He went from kind of playing around at it at first to really starting to learn it, to eventually he was helping lead the classes when he ended his time there. And the only reason why he stopped going to karate was he went to junior high and started playing sports at school, and when he did that, he didn't have time in the evenings anymore to go to karate. But there is this thought, though, that I remember, or I thought about when I thought about obedience and discipline and how it's a learned process and behavior, you know, watching Connor grow through that process of becoming a black belt. Something that he, you know, still could, you know, break out dragon form, I think, for you if you wanted to. Don't hold me to that, or him. It's been a while since I think he's had to actually run the whole form. But it is one of those things that, you know, he took time and he learned it. Like many of us, we learn things and we get better at them as we practice and continue to work on it. And this is something, you know, that we've told our children, instead of, because I don't want us to beat ourselves up too badly here, when we have a setback, right? Instead of, I think we should learn from it and think about what you can do better the next time, because this is something that we do tell our children over and over again. It is this: you cannot control what other people do, right? There's nothing that you can do internally or externally that's going to control somebody's actions, right? Or what they say to you, or you know, what happens in the moment that they're interacting with you. But what you can do, or what we can only work on, is controlling how we respond to that, right? And I want to clarify, this is something we tell our children, right? It's something we say, but it can be very challenging when it comes to modeling it for our children, or how we show that self-control in ourselves, in our interactions with not only one another, but others. And that's something that, you know, I think is the challenge for each of us when we think about self-control and discipline and obedience. Especially when it comes to being obedient to God's word, or the truth that God reveals to us in Scripture. And that's, just because it's difficult doesn't mean we get a pass on it, or we get to stop trying, right? We have to continue to try, and it is that daily process of retrying or relearning, or coming together in a time and getting a new opportunity to make that same or better choice in our responses. And I think what makes that difficult is, if we think about and see what's around us, right? We live in this time where the popular response is not about self-control, really, or a disciplined response from a lifetime dedicated to being holy. The examples that we see most of the time now is, you know, about making sure that we get, you know, the better half, or the better response, or the better outcome. You know, making sure that I get mine, you know, that I'm taken care of. This kind of a, you know, thought process. And that's not just from, you know, leaders of our country, or what we see on YouTube or television shows or movies. I mean, like, this is kind of permeating our entire culture, I think, in a way that that being the winner, to take from Charlie Sheen a few years ago, winning, that little phrase he kept saying all the time, you know, that was our thing. We wanted to come out on top. It was better to be on top than on the bottom, right? Making sure that we're taken care of, rather than making sure others are being cared for. And I think that's the difference, you know, that we've been seeing and kind of permeate our American culture of late, where it used to be a time where, you know, when I was a young child, you know, the story of it takes a village, it's still true today, but it was really dominant when I was growing up. Like, if I messed up in my neighborhood growing up, my parents knew about it before I could get home on my bike, and I don't care how fast I was riding that bike to get home. I could have been three houses down and made a mistake or did something and got in trouble with that parent. And before I could get home, you know, my parents knew about it. And that was what happened. Everybody was held accountable when it came to our behavior. Now, if we say something about the way someone's behaving, or we think that they should improve how they're behaving towards others, we're the ones who get chastised, not the child who really should be learning, right? And that's kind of the difference. We don't want to be told how to raise our children. We don't want to be told how to, you know, live our lives. We expect that what we're doing is right. And it goes back to that thought of, well, I believe in God, so therefore I am faithful. But the reality is, our actions kind of determine how faithful we really are. And our thought today is about being holy, right? That thought of how we represent Christ to the rest of the world. Well, Christ was holy, and therefore we are called to be holy as well. But that's going to require obedience, right? Obedience not to what is around us, or what we see as the truth of our society today, but what we see as the truth in the scriptures that we read today. This example we have from 1 Peter, written some 2,000 years ago, this letter, is that to be Christ-like, we are not going to be conforming to the world around us. We are not going to willingly bend when it comes to our faith and our hope. We need to, that faith and hope that we have in Jesus Christ, right? The truth cannot be, you know, and it must not be tainted or mutated or to fit our old views, the way we used to be, our mindset. Our mindset needs to have changed, and therefore we need to change to match that new mindset of and views, that our lives must fit the truth that is given to us in this imperishable seed, right? That's given to us through the living and enduring word of God. That's verse 23. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our time of tithes and offerings. And again, you know, this is a time where it is challenging as we are continuing to shelter and continuing to try to connect remotely. And it's good that those of you who could join us today are with us. It's a blessing for me to get on here and actually see some of the little numbers count as people are signing on, because it would be very scary if nobody else signed on. So I thank you for that. But as we connect through this new medium, we are still in, it's important for us to remember there's going to be a time when this all hopefully comes to an end, and we can gather together faithfully and safely. And but even during this time of separation, our churches need to be supported. So I encourage you to send what you can in your offerings to the church's P.O. boxes if you want to send a check. Becker's is P.O. Box 92, Kemp, Texas 75143. And then First Kemp is P.O. Box 327, Kemp, Texas 75143. We also have a PayPal account that's up and running now if you want to give electronically. And the PayPal is for FUMCKemp@gmail.com. That PayPal is specifically for the First Church at Kemp. And Becker, we don't have an electronic offering right now, a way to give electronically to that church. But both churches do need your support. The ministries of this charge, this two-point charge, are dependent on the gifts that we give. And so I hope... excuse me, that you are able to do so. Let's bow for a word of prayer as we bless the gifts and offerings that are being offered up this week. And we will continue after that with our pastoral prayer. We'll come to that in just a moment. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you for the blessings you give us, Father, that you have given to us so abundantly. Father, I ask that you take what we return to you, this small portion of what you have given to us so abundantly, Father, that you take it, multiply it, that it may be used for your great works. Father, that it may be used to glorify your Son's name throughout the world and throughout creation. And Father, I know that the way we do that is through our connection in the United Methodist Church. It is what allows us to give here locally, and for it to be spread all the way around the world through our connection, through the apportionments we give to support the ministries of the larger church in other countries, in other areas of our own country. Father, we just ask that it these things are blessed by you, and we ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to our time of pastoral prayer. And if you have a particular need that you would like to share, please just type in the first name here in our comments. We will respond with, Lord, hear our prayer, and then I'll close us with prayer at the end after a few minutes of allowing some people some time. Other ways, if you need to share more details about your prayer concern, if it's maybe a little more personal, you don't want to put everything out there, that's fine. Please use our contact us form that is on our website at kempumc.org, I think is what it is. And then and then also you can email them directly to me as well at pastordavid@att.net. So please, any of those three areas or ways to share are acceptable and encouraged. Mirhead family, loss of John. Lord, hear our prayer. The family of Ben Young. Lord, hear our prayer. Mandy and Darren Ladd. Lord, hear our prayer. It seems to have slowed. I hope if you have any other names that are still coming through, connection issues, whatnot, we will continue to go back through as I often do, and I make all the updates as through the week, but know that those names will be added and prayed for as well. Let's bow for a word now. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for this opportunity to come together and gather in your name here on this Facebook live stream. Father, we are encouraged each week as we know that at some point we're going to get closer, and we are getting closer to that time where we can come together and gather face to face, and we can do it safely. So, Father, I continue to lift up those families throughout the world that are being impacted by this COVID-19 pandemic. Father, I pray for each family who has lost loved ones from this virus. Father, I also want to say thank you and praise your name for all the numbers of people who have recovered from this virus as well. Because we know that although we're losing many lives to this virus, there are many more that are actually recovering, and that is a blessing. So, Father, I want us to focus on those things that you have given to us and how your grace is still revealed to us, even in these trying times. And these times are not just here in our local communities, but this is a worldwide pandemic, and this is something that everybody throughout the world is having to deal with. So, Father, I say thank you for your grace that is being revealed to us in these moments. Father, I lift up those names of concerns that we have added this week, those who have lost loved ones, those who have, those families who have been racked with grief from the problems that still prevail in our societies, not just from this COVID-19, but there are still things where people do bad things to others. And Father, I lift up those families who have that loss this week. I lift up those families who just lost loved ones to natural causes. Lord, I lift up joys that may have been unspoken at this time, and Lord, I lift them up and I say thank you for those joys. One joy that comes to mind as I'm thinking and I'm praying right now is a coworker who's had a new grandbaby born. What a blessing that is. The opportunity yesterday, Kim spoke of earlier about our front yard being mowed and edged and everything, and what a blessing that is, and what a joy it was for us to have somebody just step up and do that for us. Lord, we just know that these small things, these small little joys that come up, they're the things that we can cling to, that we can continue to focus on as believers, and they're the things that are going to be multiplied and amplified for us as we move closer to you. So, Father, we ask that you lay down your comfort and your peace and your understanding for each of those who are struggling right now. And, Father, we just thank you for your joys and the joys that you pour out upon us and the blessings you give us each and every day. We ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Amen. I continue now as we wrap up our worship service this morning. We are going to sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. It is 6 verses. I think that might be a little too much for me to do a cappella, so especially since I've been struggling with this cough and itchy throat this morning. So we will do, let me see, 1, 2, and 3. Let's just do the first 3, and we will end with those first 3 verses after the 3rd verse. And then we will have our closing, okay? So let me try to get this right, hopefully. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Amen. Oh, one other name I need to add to our list of prayer concerns before I forget and before I close this up. Ann Gibbs. She's already on our, I don't know, actually I say that wrong. She's not on our list, but we need to add her to our list. She had a fall this past week and has hurt herself. So as she is sheltering, she's also going to be going through some recovery time. So Ann Gibbs, our pianist at both Becker and First Camp, we need to lift her up as well. I will add that to our prayer concerns that I send out this week. Finally, I come to our sending forth. If you will join me in our call to response. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Christ is with us. Christ is with us indeed. Go to share the good news with the world. Amen. Thank you for joining us this week, and I look forward to serving you in this capacity until we can meet together face to face safely. Amen.